following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
It's the Stone Cold and Jackal Show!
Really? That's what you came up with for our intro?
Dude, that's awesome, bro.
So, even I know what that was.
Well, so, you know, we talked about this. I talked about my kids doing this show. And that was what, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, a month ago. Yeah.
Nothing's changed in my house, man. It's Lion King all the time.
Dude, that is the best.
They have these songs in their head, which makes sense because they're great songs, but. That's all we hear in our house.
What are they saying though? Like what?
I have no idea.
No, not your kids. What's the actual lyric?
It's for that song. It's in a different language. So
I know, but what is it?
I don't know.
What do you mean? You've heard it every day for freaking 60 days.
I'm not sure they're saying it right. I don't want to say some other language that I don't know. I could be saying terrible things. I don't know.
How are you, buddy?
Good, good. Now that we get the Disney out of the way.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, what's going on in your world?
Just busy.
I know, it's great.
Getting ready for summer, which is great. Kids will be out of school, be able to spend some time with the family, have some fun. Beach time for sure. The beach is a necessity. It's the best place for me to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, speaking of Disney, we just went to Disneyland.
And?
It was awesome. It was awesome.
It was a good experience?
Oh, dude, it was so great. My kids are at a perfect age for it right now. You know, we started maybe a little too early with my oldest, like three. We started when she was like 2.5, and she just like cried the entire time. Now like six and four, it was perfect. My in-laws took us down there, and we spent a couple days, and man, it was truly magical.
Yeah, it is. There's something special about it. Did you stay at the Grand Californian?
It was awesome.
Isn't it the best hotel?
And we were so lucky that our room had a view. We had a little deck that you could see could look in the direction of the park.
Yeah.
So when, we didn't want to keep our kids up till 10 o'clock to watch the fireworks
at the park.
Did you
have bunk beds?
No, that would have been awesome. Yeah. But we could see the fireworks from our patio, from our little deck.
Oh,
so we could
have
the kids ready for bed.
Yeah.
Watch the fireworks. And I think they would have been too scared to be too close to them anyway.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to see like the full show because I think on the ground, right in front of the castle, they have some really cool things to look at. But, we travel so much for work that sometimes we don't think about doing – we're not taking vacations yet with the kids.
Sure,
so this one was really special because it felt like vacation and it was just fun. And, that having true fun with the kids is, God, there's nothing like it.
That's great, man. That's great.
Yeah.
You just have to have a longer vacation next time.
I know.
Or was that long enough at Disneyland?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we want to go to Disney World because then you can really spend
a week there and do something different
every day, right?
I mean, when we did Super Soak
back then. Oh, man, I missed that.
It was amazing.
I missed that so much.
It was the best. I thought it was great for fans, too.
I think so. I hope so.
I know. I know a lot of fans went and scheduled their whole vacations around it, and we had so much fun there and just, man. But there was so much to do.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't even get a chance to do everything.
Well, no, because we worked pretty
hard
those
days.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'd have the guide. Our guide would take us to all the rides when we'd have like an hour break.
It was
so cool. Haunted Mansion here. I'd do like six roller coasters in an hour.
I mean, we were truly spoiled in terms of getting to go on all the attractions then.
It was so fun.
But, I miss Super Soap. I can't imagine. I remember when they canceled it, they thought, oh, we'll just take a break from it because, but... I don't think they'll ever bring it back.
Actually, they did it one time out in California, too.
At Disneyland?
Yeah.
Oh,
at California Adventureland. It was cool. It was really cool, man. We had a great time.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of great times, we have a lovely
guest.
It is so nice when there is another presence in our room that's just not you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And she doesn't smell like Axe.
You know what? We're going to talk more about that later. But we're very excited here to have Laura Wright with us.
Finally, we found Laura Wright.
She's a very busy lady, aren't you?
I am very busy.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Yeah, you were just doing some, I was going to say some crazy stuff up there, but that might be a little on the nose that I don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, this chick, honestly, she's one of the hardest working actresses I've ever met.
It's
and
true.
I'm going to say that first because I don't even know. I mean, you have so much dialogue.
Yeah.
All the time. Thank God. Especially when, especially in our scenes.
Yeah.
You can talk all
the time. I love it when you talk more than I do, which is like never. But when when it, the rare occasion it does happen, I'm like, that's awesome.
And it's happening more now than it ever has.
Oh, yeah. Jason's talking more now than he ever has.
Dude.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
Well, but I buy it. You know, you were like, you know,
we don't buy it.
Dead,
we don't know what happened.
And all of a sudden, he's back, and he wants to live.
Yeah, that's true.
I just want to live. Johnny Five Alive.
I know.
Stevie B Alive.
I know. It's crazy, man.
It is. It's awesome.
No, we were talking about one time, you know, a couple episodes back, we were talking about how we always have to regurgitate stories in case.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And he was talking about when he came back as patient six, he had to tell everybody the patient six story to everyone in town that
right.
was like,
every time you saw them.
Where have you been? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I was.
Well, have a seat.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be a minute.
Yeah. Have a seat. I'm actually talking.
I find the fun thing I find about those scenes now, because I'm like, look, we all have to do them. Nobody gets out of it. No one gets away with not. It's how good can you do it? Like, step it up.
It's a
man.
Challenge.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It is.
And how, like, you know, if I, one time I came back from the nurse's ball after I got in the fight with Ava. And so I said, you know, bring a bottle of wine or whiskey out, and I want to tell this story like I came home to like my best girlfriends, and I'm like, I kicked her ass, and this happened, and this happened, and then, oh my God, you're never going to believe it. And I just told the story to Sunny.
That's awesome.
I'm like, if I'm going to tell it, I'm going to make
tell
it fun
it.
And we're going to be drunk.
Yeah. See, I've always loved that about you. I remember when I first came on the show, you were one of the people that I connected early on with in terms of the process, and you know, we love to talk about how we prepare and how mm-hmm. we do our work, and you
wine.
Know. Well,
in wine.
Yes. Wine.
We were actually talking about wine before
well,
we started
exactly
this.
Exactly right. But, you know, for someone that has been doing this specific genre for a long time, mm-hmm. you still find joy in the process, and it's inspiring. I know that sounds kind of cheesy, but it is, because you find ways. And it's organic, too. It's not just, I got to find a way to make this exciting
no,
for
I
myself.
No, I get excited about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you actually do. And that's wonderful because, you know, it's funny, last episode, we were talking to somebody recently about, you know, you have to fight to overcome settling in.
Sure.
And I've never seen you settle in.
Oh, wow. Thank
well,
you.
It's interesting.
Well, it's hard to settle in with Carly.
That's
yeah,
true.
I know.
They don't
you
really
got so
give
much
you
to do.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's such a choice to me. I think, you know, and we've all been in the place where we can complain or we get in a place where we're not happy or whatever's happening in our life or in the moment that we're working in any job, I'm sure.
Sure.
But it's a choice. It's a choice every day to show up and say, how do I make this? And, you know, I grew up playing sports. So for me, I'm like, my team wants to win, you know, like I wanna, and I'm also a team player. It's all about, you know, telling the story. And I think when I realized that there's a, it's not about me, there's a story being told. We're just the vessel.
Sure.
And also, too, I'm so – how lucky – you have to step it up. You're playing Carly on General Hospital. I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because upstairs I was like, man, I'm just having so much fun now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just having fun.
That's a great way to
approach
it.
You know what I mean?
It.
It's so fun just to be here and do what we do. And I'm like –
And when you don't judge it, it's like, dude, we're
it's so cool,
and
man.
And I don't care that we're on a soap. We're working actors.
Right.
That's the thing that is – you know – you could be on any medium. I mean, I was just watching the news where there's a popular TV show that got renewed, but one of the lead actors was replaced.
Sure.
And it's like, so there's people that are complaining and having issues in all mediums. You're a working actor. Every
right.
day I woke up this morning and when the eyes opened, I just said, thank you. And I seriously started my day that way.
Yeah.
That's a great.
And I know people, oh, that's cheesy. It's like, no,
it's not
really.
Cheesy.
No.
Because
yeah.
you and I think a lot alike about that mm-hmm. and starting your day out being grateful is a great way to start your day because you have a different perspective on your day.
Absolutely.
If you're going to get up and complain, guess what? Your day is going to suck.
It's going to be that way the whole absolutely.
It truly is, you know, because complaining mm-hmm. gets no one anywhere.
No, it just keeps you pissed off.
Yeah,
and
pretty
grumpy.
Much.
And
grumpy.
And I really love the challenge of, ooh, how do we make this different? And there, you know, I have my days where I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing this again. Or Mondays can be tough for me because I've had a great weekend and I'm in a great mood. And sometimes I come in as Carly and I'm angry and yelling at people. And so that's hard, you know, because I'm like,
you well, angry
I didn't
yelling
really
at people? What's that?
I'm like, I didn't want
to
get
I mean,
angry.
You got to have a lot of, see, for me, I don't have to have a lot of energy to do nothing.
No,
you got to have a lot of energy all the time. So when did you start acting? What, I mean,
I remember some of these stories that you've told me and they're amazing stories.
Well, the first time I did anything was Maid Marian in Robin Hood in like fifth grade.
Oh, wow.
But then eighth grade, I auditioned for a high school play to play an Annie Get Your Gun.
Oh, nice.
And then I was brought up.
Did you play Annie Oakley?
No, I played just a child. Then I was brought up to play in Gypsy, Baby Louise.
Nice.
And then I just started doing theater in high school.
Sure.
And I loved – I fell in love with it.
Were there other kids – like, was there a track where, like, oh, this kid from my high school liked acting and then – did this with it, and now, do you know what I mean? Was there ever someone in front of you that you were like, oh.
I went to high school with who now lives in Philadelphia and does theater.
Right.
But I think there's only really two of us that it's become their lives.
Yeah, so there wasn't like a track laid out.
I grew up right outside of Washington, D.C.
Sure.
So we were pretty close to New York. It was on like a train, right. An easy train ride. And D.C. had a large, you know,
great theater.
Yeah.
I rode my first train.
Oh, he did. He
was Laura's so, like squirrel.
Okay, weirdo.
Squirrel.
No, he was so.
No, because it's just so funny. We got on this.
We were going from Philadelphia down to
Astoria.
We were going from New York to Philadelphia, and
okay.
So we took
Philly to New York.
It
was the same line. That's right. We're going.
I lived on that for like 2 years,
and I was let's
3 times a week.
We don't need to rent a car. We certainly don't need to fly. Let's take the train. And he was like, what?
And you took the Acela, the fast one.
No, I wish, but no, we took just regular Amtrak.
Why?
Because it was
Steve Burton. You got him on a regular Amtrak.
It was only like 2 hours. I mean, it was super.
Remember, he's a penny pincher.
Wow, oh, yeah.
This guy's
there was three
son
of
us,
and it was just you know.
He was like, oh, $8, we're going.
Nah,
and it was more than $8.
Yeah, it sure was. But he was so enchanted by it.
I love the train.
Oh, it was like
it was great.
It runs. I tell you, if they only had it from Santa Barbara to
LA. Oh my God,
I mean they do, but it's not the same. It runs every hour from New York to DC into Boston.
Yeah, it's just a regular. Because I would love to take the train to Sacramento.
Yes,
but it only there's no train between Bakersfield and L.A. because those damn mountains.
Well, and nobody wants to go.
you can take the train from Sacramento.
I have friends from Bakersfield. I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah,
no, I've been there. You're allowed to say that.
That's terrible.
But a lot there anyway.
So. Yeah, and the bus
because the train is pretty romantic.
So anyway, yeah,
the train can be really romantic. Yeah. There's a great Napa train.
Oh yeah. I'm sure that's
through the wine.
That's more romantic than the train to Bakersfield.
And the beverage is way better.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah,
it's better than
the cafe car.
The cafe car.
I was surprised. The cafe car. I think it was like a Han Cabernet or something like that and a cheese plate. And I was like, all right, I can deal with this.
That's probably the safest bet because everything else is like a microwave burger or hot dog.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. When a meat product comes out of like a microwavable plastic pouch, then you know.
Then I'm at home.
There you go.
It's not
that's
meat.
How I grew up.
Oh, me too.
Oh, so
God,
no,
canned
disgusting.
Vegetables and.
Oh.
But back to Eastern Maryland, is that right? Eastern Maryland?
Southern Maryland.
Right
outside of, right, I mean, I used to work at my dad's gas station across from the Virginia Gate of Andrews Air Force Base.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
Was it a name brand gas station?
Well, I grew up working at 15, I started working at my dad's Shell stations.
Okay.
And then...
Did they have the family name on it, or was it...
It's when the the automatic pumps kind of... First started, they were more electronic. You couldn't type in how much gas people would get, but you could just push the button and they could go.
Yeah.
The biggest argument was, I only wanted $20. I'm like, so you should have stopped it at $20. Now you can punch in how much.
Right, sure.
But I wasn't allowed to pump gas or anything. My dad was. So there was a, that's when we had full service still, and there was a guy that would work the full. So I just worked the inside office.
Did you want to do the, this sounds horrible. Did you want to do full service?
Well, I wanted to get, I would have done that in a heartbeat. Yeah. I would have loved it. I mean, I learned how to check oil and do everything early on, but my dad was like, no way is my daughter going to be out there doing that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I mean, a car pulls up and a
good job,
young
dad.
Hot thing
well,
walks
no,
out.
Well, it's not usually that. The dudes don't, it's always the older women that are, that are in full service. So I would have been like, hi.
Yeah.
But I started working Sunday mornings from 6 a.m. to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I loved it because, you know, when you work at a gas station, you have people coming through on vacation. So I'm a talker, so I'm like, where are you going?
No.
Oh my God! Yeah. And then my second job,
they're like, we're on vacation, we have to go now.
Yeah, you're not getting people like on their way to work that are going to be late and are pissed off.
I started working at my dad's gas station, what happened was then we started buying our own independent. Independent gas stations are popping up. Yeah. And so my last name at the time was Sisk, S-I-S-K. Right. So we named the gas station Cisco, and we had our own, like, we had three of our own stations in the town.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
And
man.
That when I
never knew this.
Yeah, when I started growing, after I graduated high school and I was working during the week, I'd open the station at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then you would have the people going to work.
Sure.
And then you'd always have this, like, group of men that would come in that were all retired, and they'd sit around drinking coffee and just BSing for like a good 2 hours.
That's cool. Did you serve coffee at the gas station? Did
no,
you
then
guys...
we got their own.
Oh, I
didn't serve anybody. I have never been a waitress, I'd be pretty awesome.
But you didn't have like a little convenience store in the gas station?
No, it was a convenience store.
Oh, yeah.
But they got their own. I would just, it was fun because it was a convenience store with, like, they'd have chairs and the guys would sit around and talk. And then you'd have the commuter couples coming through because, again, it was right outside of Washington, D.C., so you had tons of people.
How big was the town?
Well, I grew up in Clinton, Maryland. I don't really know.
Like a couple thousand or like?
Oh, no, way more than
way
that.
Way more than that,
yeah.
Okay.
It was the suburbs outside of D.C.
Sure. Oh, okay.
So it was pretty big.
Yeah.
And then I managed a tanning salon for 5 years, and that was awesome. Because
that would have been my dream.
I was going to say, dude, if you could have got free tanning back, oh, man.
Well, I never tanned, though. I was the whitest person there because I worked so much, and I managed the salon that when you'd stay an extra half an hour to tan, I'm like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I get that.
Oh, I love those places.
But I loved it because it always smells like the beach. There's music playing,
right.
And you're
Absolutely.
Always in shorts and T-shirts, and you just put your sweats on because it was, it's D.C., so it was damn cold in the winter.
And these were, like, legit tanning beds, though, like fluorescent lamps.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Oh, dude. These were definitely the cancers.
The cancer beds were out in force then.
You didn't.
But everyone was in a good mood when they came in because they were getting tan.
Yeah,
right.
And the
sure.
music was blaring, and you're like,
they had the raccoon eyes.
I remember.
Totally.
I remember seeing those for the first time as a kid and thinking, like, it was the scariest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah, I was 15 when I started working at the tanning salon as a bed cleaner.
Have you ever been in one?
Gosh, but that's nice to know that they
that's
did
weird.
Clean the beds. That's
nice. No, how about when people fall asleep and you're like, how do we get him out?
Oh, my God, that's dangerous.
And so I would have to go. One time, I swear, this guy was dead, and all my friends started working with us. So we were like, and there was no roof, so you could climb over and look, and I'm like, he's in there, he's in there.
Oh, my gosh.
And you're only, like, 16 years old, and it's like a 40-year-old man. You're like, tap, tap, tap.
Oh,
hello.
And he's not going in naked.
I'm sure, which is why we're not opening the door.
No.
I just would bang really loud. You could bang, or you play music really loud, anything to try and get them to wake up.
There's
and finally
some weird
just
stuff
go.
Going on in those
there's
beds,
definitely,
dude.
Yeah. I've cleaned a lot of beds.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, have you ever been in one?
No, I think
have you
clearly,
ever...
he's the palest man in the
no,
world.
No, I mean, have you ever been outside?
Yes.
Okay.
Once.
Well, we went to Mexico together.
That's right, we did.
Yeah.
I got hurt.
You did. It didn't end so well
that's
for you.
That's what happens when I go outside.
That's what happens when you go out in the sun. Just powder your brother.
Yeah,
you did
exactly.
Not,
yeah, got hit by lightning. It was terrible.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So then what?
So then
when
I
you
started
got an agent
doing...
And...
No, I started doing... well, there was a manager there. And
that was hanging around the gas station?
No.
Going, hey, you could be in pictures, kid.
No.
Sounds like my agent.
And
yeah, right?
She... Exactly. He really does.
Yeah.
I started taking local... I wouldn't say acting classes, but on Saturdays I would go and hang out with a bunch of people. And there was like fashion shows that she would put on and to music and stuff. And so I would do things just to stay. I just found it fun.
Did your little turn on the catwalk?
And my brother got a deal that if he brought someone in to do an 8x10 photo shoot with him, then he would get it for half price. So
nice.
He took me.
That's awesome.
I remember the date, October 18th. And 1990.
Was he into it as
Dude,
well? Was he into the...
That's like right when you got...
I know. So that was October of 1990. I took pictures and then I did a Rylan Home commercial, which was so weird.
What is that?
It's a local... Rylan Home were these like, I think, like not modular, but homes that were put up that all looked alike.
Yeah.
And this woman who I was doing work for said, can you come in and audition on videotape for this soap opera? And I'm like, what? And I was, I was 20, and I was working at my dad's gas station, managing a tanning salon at night, and then going out. Like, I could go out till 3 in the morning, have an hour's sleep, go work all day, and,
you
can do that at 20 years old.
At that time, did you have an idea of something else that you were on track to do?
No, I'll tell you honestly, I was I'm not really that different of a person now. I just loved my life. I had four jobs.
Right.
I sold pretzels at RFK Stadium for the Redskins game.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's cool.
I worked at my brother's gas station on Saturdays, ran my dad's gas station Monday through Friday in the morning, and at nighttime I worked at the tanning salon.
Right.
And
that's
so
a pretty full schedule.
But I had money.
All the and
that's
pretzels
all
you can eat.
I love you more now than I did
but here's the thing.
20 minutes ago.
I I also had money. I was like, no one's going to tell me what to do financially. Sure. I had my own car, my car payment, anything I wanted.
Right.
So when this woman called Linda Townsend and asked me to audition, I was like, I got a date. And she's like, what? I go, I got a date tonight. I said, I got to have, that's nap time. You're asking me to, and she goes, you need to come in on this audition. I'm like, okay.
That's funny.
Well, because I'm like, I have 25 girls. I watch the soap opera Loving. There's no way. And so I auditioned and thought, okay, that was fun.
Sure.
And I went to Ocean City, Maryland for Memorial Day weekend. And I came back and I had that car phone that built into my Firebird. I had a Firebird.
Look at you.
What?
Turquoise blue.
This guy's getting very excited right now.
I know, right?
Did you see him? He's
like my shifting in my seat. My second car had T-tops. No, my second car was a 280Z. That had T-tops.
Oh, that's
like an IROC? So,
don't you wish you still had those cars?
Is that like an IROC Z?
Yeah, yeah.
No, 280Z? No, it was... It was very sporty.
Who made the IROC? Am I saying it right?
Yeah, that was a Camaro.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, my brother had that. That was his graduation present from high school.
The East Coast was flooded with those cars.
Mustangs and Camaros.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's all I wanted.
Yeah, I remember in high school in the 90s, the IROC was the car.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
My brother graduated in 83, I think.
And even still, it was a long-standing trend.
It was, because we were young seeing them going, we have to have them.
Right.
Yeah,
that was
awesome.
But so... I came back from the beach and my car phone. I never forget answering that car phone. And she's like, where have you been? And I'm like, I was at the beach.
I'm like,
where do you think 20-year-olds are?
Right.
Yeah. She's like, they want you to screen test. And I'm like, oh, what's that?
Yeah, right.
Like,
totally.
They're like, yes. And they want you to do it at this point and this. And I'm like, well, who's all going? And they're like, you. I'm like, what? I had no idea what she's talking about.
Sure,
she's like,
yeah,
you have
yeah.
to go to New York, get your one of eight girls. And you're screen testing. She goes, and this is my thing. She goes, but for me to legally negotiate, you have to come sign this management contract.
Yeah,
I like that one.
Hook, line, sinker. Yeah. She got me.
Nice.
My first contract was for $690.
That's amazing.
$690.
Yeah, $690.
Wow. How much did she take? 10% then, or was she like?
She took 10.
Yeah, she took 10. Okay, good.
So. Managers sometimes took 15, right?
But 20 sometimes.
It was 1991, and it was a half hour show, and so. I'm like, do you want to stay
you were
and pump
balling
gas?
Back then.
Oh, for sure.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. Until you get your apartment and you realize how much
sure.
you're paying.
Oh, yeah. And taxes.
Yeah, $690.
And New York.
And they put me up for 1 week at
a
hotel in New York and gave
me
$3,000, which is nothing.
No, that's your security deposit.
That's not even your rent and security deposit.
No.
But I went and this is the funniest story because I'm like, oh, so I, my girlfriend went with me on the train because I was not going to fly.
This is to the screen test, not to move.
Screen test.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and Jessica Collins was in the screen test.
No way.
Wow.
And so we get there and I had the disposable cameras and I had like two of them with me and I take them to the studio and I was just like, hi. And I was like, can I get a picture with you?
That's amazing.
And I watched the show every day.
Oh, right.
That
and so Noelle Beck
awesome.
Was there, and she goes, hey, I'm from Maryland. I'm like, I know, because I got Soap Opera Digest. And so, I mean, everyone I saw, they were like, who let that girl in the building?
Oh,
and
man.
Then I'm walking down the hallway, and because they're calling me up to go to have my turn on the floor, and I see Susan Lucci, and I have my camera, and I go, Susan, and she turns around, like, yes, and flips that hair like she does,
that's
and I
amazing.
Go, hi, I'm screen testing, blah, 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 and can I get a picture with you? And you see her looking for security. I swear to God, she's, like, looking around.
That is funny.
And I went on the studio floor, and I did the scene once, and they gave me directions, and I did it again, and then I was like, bye. I was so happy. I left, and I remember on the train ride home, I said to my girlfriend, I go, I think I'm going to get the part. And she looked at me, she's like, really? why?
Right.
And I said, no, I don't think because I'm good. I go, I think those people are going to be my friends.
Oh, my gosh. You live, like out the fantasy of so many young girls probably
know,
at that
amazing.
Time, right? Like, I mean, that just...
Well, I tell you, when I look back and think, I'll give you an example. So 2 days later, they call me. I'm working at my dad's gas station. I answer the phone. They were like, is Allison Rescott there? Because that's the character. And they said, you have to be in New York by 5 o'clock tonight. You start work tomorrow morning. My life changed. Within 1 week, my life changed.
That's what's crazy about this business.
It is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it flipped.
Sure.
2 weeks later was the Daytime Emmy Awards. I'm like, can I go? And they were like, yeah. I was in the last row in the back. I didn't care. I was so happy to be there. At dinner, when they brought the soup bowl with like the baked potato on top, I'm
nice.
Like, what's that? And my friend Eric was with me, and he's like, just watch everybody else. We had no idea what I was doing. I'd never been to something
so
nice.
Wait a second, potato on top of soup? I don't know what that is either.
Well, yeah, you can get a soup where that the mashed potatoes are beautifully, like, it
oh,
looks.
Oh, yeah,
and it's, like,
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of browned on top, and it's,
yeah.
like, a, and you push it. Oh, my God, oh, it's yeah. a delicious.
That
you've
sounds
had this.
Good, yeah, yeah.
Also,
yeah.
I had my mom ship my prom dress because I didn't know what I was going to
oh.
wear. It was bright green with big puffy sleeves,
naturally.
And everyone walked around the studio like,
do not wear this.
So Noelle Beck gave me this beautiful long dress and said, that's really pretty, but what about, and I mean, seriously, it was greener than that pillow.
Wow.
And the next morning, well, they came to me at the Emmys. They said, if Susan Lucci doesn't win, they want you on Good Morning America to talk about you getting the job.
Oh, wow.
Susan Lucci didn't win. I was rushed to Good Morning America the next day, and they asked me, well, what are you going to do if you, and I have this. And I love that I said this then, because now I know what it means, but I love that that was truly who I was and am. Like, what are you, you know, they're threatening that Loving's going to be canceled. What are you going to do? And I was like, well, I liked my life before. So it's not, I'm like,
it's not
I
that
love,
deep, yeah.
Right, I love my life. So if,
right.
if this ends, I'll just find something. It wasn't like I have to go back to something I hated.
Sure.
No, yeah.
And
you,
she was just
like
stay
life.
To me. So that's kind of how I feel about even
so,
today.
So how long did Loving, how long were you
7
on
years.
Hey,
it turned, it went
good.
From Loving to the City.
I remember the City.
Oh, that was the same
way before its time.
Totally was. I mean, the way it was shot.
Was awesome.
If you can YouTube it, dude, they put a film filter on it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it looked really cool.
And all
cool.
of our sets were, we all mic'd. There were no booms. It was all handheld. It was great.
There was a fourth wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they just shot it. It was way ahead of its time.
Yeah. Oh, and
wow.
and also, too,
yeah.
we should have, they should have bumped everybody up, and we should have been on after GH because it wasn't a, it shouldn't have been on 12:30 because you
yeah.
are,
yeah.
because our viewership or the audience we were looking for was more of an MTV audience, not necessarily
sure.
the people.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
You needed them,
but it was a great show.
Them to come home from
it
school.
Was a great show. And so
yeah.
I went to, that was on, I was actually, when Loving ended, and I was the longest running character on the City when it started, which was like me, the girl
yeah,
from Clinton, Maryland,
yeah.
that haven't even had an acting class, really. And then the City was on for about a year and a half, and it was canceled. So in 97, that was all canceled. I auditioned for a pilot. I booked it. It shot for 2 weeks in Vancouver. It didn't get picked up. A month later, I was on. I signed a Guiding Light contract for. I was on Guiding Light for 8 years.
Wow.
That's where I think everything shifted for me. Oh, God, yeah. It's been
what
like the
run,
best
man.
Job ever.
Wow.
So fun. The people, I mean, being an actor on a soap opera, it's like a kid in a candy
and
store.
And especially in New York.
Yeah, New York was super fun.
Yeah,
it was super fun to grow
I
up
I
in New York
that.
Those years from
yeah.
20 to.
Yeah.
I was in from 21, basically, right before I turned 21, till I was 35. I was in
yeah.
New York.
Not sure I'd be alive, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have. You would have. Because
I don't like. I didn't know you in your crazy young phase. But
I met Steve. I hung out with him one night. It was at an Emmy. It was really funny. We sat there watching Sean Kanan. I don't know what happened, but Steve and I ended up at the end of this bar, and it was an Emmy party, but it was packed with a lot of fans, so we couldn't really get around without being bombarded. Especially Steve. No one really knew who I was.
Something's never
a little
changed.
Bit. It was a different. Especially at that time, it was just different demographics.
Yeah,
I was
yeah,
on
yeah.
a CBS show. I don't know. Was I on Loving? I think I was on Loving.
I think you were on Loving. Yeah.
But we were sitting at the end of just actually standing, and we were watching Sean, who was so entertaining, and we were just chit chatting about Sean and like
yeah.
the business, and then it was like, all right, see you later. It was like a very bizarre.
Yeah.
yeah.
Was
for sure.
What kind of hair did he have back then?
Beautiful.
Not too different.
Not too different.
Just a little blonder.
<It's>, okay.
yeah.
All right. That's
oh, come
fine.
On. It's been the same hairstyle for a long time.
Oh, I know.
But clearly it works for
I'm
you.
I'm very not proud of it.
So your time on Guiding Light, what kind of character was that?
Well, you know, everyone says, you know, oh, gosh, what's your favorite character? And honestly, I love Carly, but
sure.
I couldn't have played her from the beginning. I had to learn.
Yeah.
Cassie, she was a stripper. She started off as a stripper, you know,
nice,
the heart of gold
nice.
Stripper trying
oh,
to get
yeah,
her daughter
yeah.
back out of foster care. She was nice. She was a little scrappy, but nothing like Carly. So just a sweet girl, you know, nice,
right.
you know, family was important. She became a princess on the show for a while.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I mean, yeah, that was fun.
stripper to princess.
Totally.
It's amazing.
My
yeah.
first day
only
on Guiding Light, I had to strip down to a pair of bikini bottoms and do a whole dance number with tassels
what was
and
on
everything.
The, oh, well, tassels. I was going to say, what was on top?
I had to meet, okay. well, no, at the end, I had to take everything off and just cover myself with a cowboy hat.
Gee whiz.
That was day one.
Dude,
I mean, you
about,
talk about,
yeah.
and I had to meet with like dance instructors, and I'm like, oh, what did I get myself? I was in the gym for a month and a half before doing kickboxing and eating lettuce. I mean, I was like, they stripped. I mean, I was like, wow, well, nice to meet everybody my first day.
Hello.
And then someone introduced me to the bar across the street on my second dance number. I'm like, yeah, thank you. Just one shot of Jaeger and I'll be good. I know it's disgusting, but it was a long time ago.
That's NyQuil.
It worked. I was a little looser. Okay, we can cut that.
No,
we won't.
You were in New York for...
I know you don't.
I don't at all.
You were in New York for such a long stretch. To come out here, it wasn't just a job. It was a huge life change, too.
Oh, in so many ways. Yes, it was a huge life change. I remember telling my kids, we have to move, and they were devastated until I told them I'd buy them rats, and then they were happy because they wanted pet rats.
Did they grow out of that phase?
No, I let those things go.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, they didn't make
it.
I open up the back door, and I'm like, rats will survive anywhere. See you later.
Yeah, well, and also, if you get rats in New York, but how did that even, with the rest of their family?
Why was that the pet of choice?
I don't know, because you go into a pet store, and they're like, oh, look, and the guy's wearing one on his shoulder and letting it crawl around. It's gross.
Oh, pushing rats.
I'm an animal person, but I'm like, and bunnies, too. They're just... cute
vermin.
I've had them all. I've had everything.
I've had
goats and chickens and lizards and turtles and nothing.
Yeah, you went full blown farmer for a bit.
I did. Yeah. It was fun, but it's work.
Yeah,
and I'm done.
So much work.
Oh, come
on. That people don't know how much work.
Well, and even if you're not the one doing it,
how much farming have you done?
Yeah, zero.
Even if you have it, but you're not doing the work, you're paying someone, and that sucks too. I mean, you know,
absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's your life and it's because some people it's just in them, and I love that. It's just not me.
Sure.
Yeah, I know.
You know, a dog that doesn't shed is now what I want.
Skinless dog.
Hairless cat.
Hairless dog.
No.
Hairless cat.
I couldn't even look at it and pretend to like it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'm sorry. And I'm an animal person, but that can be someone else's animal. It doesn't have to be mine.
Stay out there.
Yeah.
Cat. The hypoallergenic.
I mean, I would take care of it if it was in need, and then I'd give it back to somebody.
Well, that's nice. Yeah, I have a terrier, and he doesn't shed. But he's still a lot of work.
And he still pees on things, right? Because I had the same damn thing. You can't.
Dude, every time I'm on the phone with you, you're yelling at that dog.
Yeah.
You're like, get out, what are you doing? Like, I'm like, are you talking to your kids or your dog?
I have a Maltese Yorkie, too.
Yeah, they're so sweet. But, man, they're hard to train. Yeah.
They're untrainable. Let's just be honest.
Dude, maybe that's it.
You have kids and those dogs?
I know.
You only have one, don't you?
No, my kids are already saying, when Huck dies, can we get another dog? And we're like, no.
Why are you already putting Huck in the grave?
Poor Huck.
Poor Huck.
Yeah.
Well,
night.
I do
Goodbye.
That too.
Goodbye,
but
Huck.
I take like a Labradoodle or a Golden Doodle.
I don't know.
I think my next dog will have to. I believe it'll come to me. You know, I don't need to go looking.
It'll just find you.
Just knock on your door.
Yeah. Yes. It'll
it's
be like,
thing about
hey.
Little chihuahua.
Living in the country.
No,
with
it will
one
never
eye.
Be a chihuahua.
With one eye.
Well, I can't say that. I am a sucker. Like, if someone was sick or dying, I'd take care of it. And then I would give it to the person that really is supposed to have it.
Right.
You'll find that person.
According to Laura.
I'm supposed to have
you,
a dog.
Hey,
that,
you. You're
but,
supposed
but
to have this
dog. But dogs are supposed
dog.
To kind of look like you. And I just see me with a shaggy, big-haired dog.
That's funny. Yeah.
What dog would Bradford have?
Well, he has it.
Yeah.
A whippet.
I'm not sure that's...
I don't know.
It's funny. Sometimes, like when my hair is super shaggy, I'll be walking down the street and I'll see someone look at me, and I know that they're thinking, another one of those people that looks like their dog. I'm like, damn it.
You'd be a pit bull.
How did this happen?
A pit bull.
You'd be a pit bull.
Okay. Yeah, I think so, because you've got that square jaw and the
and
little...
And you're like, arms,
and you're all... Yeah,
and they're big and muscular.
But I'm not angry like a pit bull.
Or the bulldog.
Yes,
like,
the bulldog. Yeah. The English bulldog. Their mouth.
Hold on, I'll take the pit bull.
I
don't have an underbite. I do not have an underbite. Nor do I want one. And do not make me a freaking bulldog.
Well, but then they have that scrappy little sidekick dog that's like, what are we doing today, boss? What are we doing today?
That's you.
Oh, my gosh. You're like the Boston... Is it the Boston Terrier in Men in Black? Is that what's in that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Or the pig.
The pug.
Yeah.
The pug. Or
every
the pig.
Time I see that face, I just think he's going to start talking because of that movie.
Right.
Every time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
No, I think our next dog is probably going to be a more, if we have one, like a little more playful.
Oh, it's so coming.
I know, probably.
If you're the only dude, they're going to get whatever they want. It's the girl's role.
My
friend.
My four-year-old, she just went from 3 to 4. Her saying now, I'm not sure where she learned it, but she like treats it as law now, is, girls rule, boys drool. So,
Well, is she in preschool?
Yes, that's where she learned.
Yeah, I mean,
but no, it's like she'll
well,
be.
You
saying,
also don't know what your wife's saying when you're gone.
That's true. That's a fair point. But no, but she like uses it as like an arguing point. You know, so if I say, "Oh, it's time to get in the bath now," and she's like, "No, I want to play," and I'm like, "No, hon, sorry, it's time to get in the bath." She's like, "Well, girls rule, boys drool." So, so no, I'm
so
not getting in the bath.
Go.
Yeah, it's like it's the law of the land.
I know.
Oh, man.
4-year-olds.
Yeah, it started out as a joke,
so
and now
I know. So, how old are your kids?
Lauren's turning 20 in November, and LJ turns 18.
That's just so
crazy.
So how long have you been here?
13 years.
So, I mean,
because
you used to bring your kids all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When LJ was just a little
with that
surfer
skater
rat hair.
Oh, my gosh.
And
in fact, he's probably texted me 10 times, did you call for my haircut? Did you call for my haircut?
Now?
I'm like, yes. And I'm like, you call for your own damn haircut. You're going to be 18.
Yeah.
Because then I have to call, then call him. Does this time work? Then call back. And I'm
right.
like, ugh.
I like her rules with her kids. Like, you're 18, that's it.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
Get a job.
Come on. You can use the phone at 18. I don't know if you're aware.
Oh, you surely can.
You can dial and say, hi, I'd like to make myself a haircut.
Do your kids, like, take their own Ubers and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
well, Lauren's
in
college, so she
right,
does.
Right. Yeah.
And LJ would.
Yeah.
But he has his own car.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
And then Sandy Inez, there's maybe
oh, that's
three
right. You guys
Ubers.
Are up there. Yeah.
Got maybe three.
Yeah. The wait time's like 45 mm-hmm. minutes, right?
That's funny.
Yeah. And there's some guy that I knew that was an Uber, but he was stoned all the time. So I'm like, yeah, don't take
him. There's only one, and he's terrible.
But at least, you know, you're safe. You're just not getting there fast.
Yeah, right.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
Now that they legalized it, every Uber I get in, it seems that I'm like, why are we sitting at this green light for 2 minutes?
It's not legal to drive.
Yeah,
no,
it's
I know,
different
but
than being
still,
drunk.
I know.
It's still a DUI.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So 13 years here.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
I know. I'm the longest running Carly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you
Carly, shut up, Brad. Carly. Guy just wants to just have a little fun in life.
I have plenty of
That's true.
Why don't we have a cocktail poured? That's not really fun.
Well,
a glass of
because
wine.
Bradford drank all the wine last night.
All the wine.
You should tell me. I got four cases from Sandy Inez I brought down.
Man,
these guys are wine connoisseurs.
Wesley gets all nervous,
just so you know.
Drinking. He's like, do you want to open like a $12 bottle? Like I'm like, no.
Hello.
I didn't bring this down to look at it.
Yeah.
I brought it down to drink it.
That's right. That's tremendous. When you were auditioning for Carly or New or did you audition or
no? But no. It's a really great Maurice story.
Yeah. Okay.
And he and I. Say,
oh, really? Because yeah. Chad had a good one too.
Well, because
did he look you in your eyes and say?
No, he wouldn't even look at me.
Just look in my eyes and I'll take you to the promised land.
Oh no, he said that to me. He would never.
That's what he said
to
Chad.
Well, because he could say that to Chad. I would have busted out laughing.
Poor Maurice, we got to get him on to defend himself.
Oh, my God, totally. He's so funny. No, well, that's when Jenny Bransford was playing Carly.
Yeah.
And,
You don't.
Was that for a short while?
It was a short time.
She's a great actress. Yeah. I just don't think the part was for her. It was just an intense role. I actually loved her work. But it was just a different type of work. And so Maurice didn't really want a new Carly. And so we had a meeting at the headquarters, and so it was a really funny meeting because you had Bob and Chuck.
The headquarters. I like that.
Yeah, I was going to say,
where is ABC?
I thought it's like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I was like, where is the headquarters?
Like that. But it was at ABC in Burbank.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. And there was Brian Franz, Bob Guza, and Chuck.
Yeah.
And Maurice. And when I
he actually drove over to Burbank.
I'm sure they sent him a car. Let's be honest, it's 13 years ago.
He wasn't driving anywhere. You're right.
And so they basically put a chair in the middle of the room, and I sat as they all were around.
Wow.
And I was like, and I was in like almost kind of like a flowery half shirt that it's kind of almost a half shirt and like ripped up jeans and big curly hair. And I walked in, I saw the chair, and I thought, I'm more than happy to sit in that damn chair. Bring it on. I just sat down. I'm like, hey. And then we talked and answered questions, and I looked at Maurice and I said, can I talk to you privately? Because I wanted to ask him like the intimacy of the Carly signing and stuff. And he's like, yeah, no, I'm not feeling good.
What?
And I was like, oh. And so to this day, I'm always like, yeah, I'm not really feeling good, Maurice. I don't know if I want to run these lines. I don't know. And he's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, no. He won't run lines with me.
Well, he's so funny because he said later, I'm like, well, we did one scene that was a flashback of Carly and Sonny.
When you first started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was probably like 2 weeks in. because they had to do it for other, you know, I had to be established as the flashbacks. I had to do a lot of flashbacks.
Oh, gosh, right.
And so we walked off set when and he was like, that was really great. And he said, you're really, really good, and I'm really glad you're here, and I'm sorry if I wasn't
as welcoming as.
Yes, nice. And he totally owned it. And so yeah. I go, yeah, you didn't even want to talk to me. He goes, oh, because I didn't want you to have the job.
Just straight up.
He said, but I didn't want to lie. I go, but you did lie. He said, we were just dying. He goes, I know, I didn't know what to do. And
so
that was 13 years ago. Now he's probably one of my closest friends on the show. And
master of social situations, Maurice Bernard.
Yeah.
Well, and he's gotten so much better at them.
Because we talked about it with Chad. Cause,
oh, my God, I love him.
Because when you're used to working with someone so much and someone comes
in,
it's just especially with Maurice, he doesn't really like change.
Well, and he very much cares. He very much cares.
Yes.
And, you know, I am very close with Maurice, and he's very honest. Like, I have to say, like, he would avoid before he'd tell me a lie. Like, I'll say I'm not feeling good because I want to act like I want you. I mean, but at least he was honest.
Yeah,
I have to say,
no,
I always know where I stand with Maurice.
That's true.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's, you know, I don't find him to be unfair or wrong or unkind ever. He's one of my favorite people here, and I absolutely love working with
him. One of them.
Yeah. one of them, yes. And I love working. I love the Sonny
Carly
relationship.
There's probably a top three.
Right.
And he's in the top three.
Okay, yeah.
Sure.
So we're not sure. We know he's not number one because I know who is.
Okay, fair enough.
Besides the boyfriend. I know who is.
Oh, right.
I know who is.
Right.
Oh, right. I forgot Wesley's here now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Wes might be a close second.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, By the way.
You know what I have to say is I, from day one, have understood, for some reason, and absolutely loved the Carly, Sonny, Jason family.
Yeah, you know, it's so, honestly.
Especially the Carly, Jason relationship,
yeah,
I find so to
unique.
Be amazing. Yeah.
It's so unique because you don't find. Because
you guys have never done it, right?
Well, not with me.
Yeah, no, not with her,
my Carly.
It was a,
Sarah
just
Brown.
A, it
it's
was
how it
a,
started.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then it happened again. Because, like, the world was ending or something.
With Sarah or Tamara?
I can't remember. But it's just such a unique relationship because
sure.
we're so close.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, we joke now, we're waiting for Sonny to die.
Yeah.
So we
can finally have Carly and Jason together.
So we can just get together already.
Right.
You know,
so
Maurice is so funny. Yeah. I go, dude, we're just waiting for you to kick the bucket.
Yeah,
any day you're ready.
Him.
He goes, I don't have to kick the bucket.
Yeah, totally.
Because he sees us.
Oh, yeah. We joke around all the time.
We joke around all the time.
Because the three of us.
It's funny when we get Mo on here. His dad,
yeah.
he's so old school
right.
that he's like, why is Carly touching Jason?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Yeah, his
so
dad
funny.
Is so
dude,
he's angry.
Like, he's so mad at Carly and Jason.
Yeah. Totally.
That we wanted to set him up when he came here. We were going to have a whole, like, you know, mm-hmm. thing where I'm just, like, rubbing
and
her
he's
back.
He's coming, like, tomorrow, and I'm like, darn it.
I know. It was
tomorrow.
So funny. But,
wow, I love that.
No, but it's a great – I loved the – and I think it takes an interesting – and I say this because I believe it. I've watched the other actors come into the circle, and it takes – like, it's difficult because the three – it's such an unhealthy relationship
100%.
Between the three of these individuals, but that's what makes great soap because if you don't
right.
have hurdles and, you know, because anyone that comes into Carly's life has to deal with these two being the most important people in her life. You
sure.
will never be number one.
Right.
And that allows for great story.
Confidence,
I
mean, yeah.
And I think that's why Sonny gets jealous because, again, he's not number
one. Not number one. Yeah.
Well, it's okay.
No, and it used to be like, who would save who in a burning building?
Oh, gosh,
And it was like, well, Carly would save Sonny. And they're like, why? And I said, because Jason could save himself.
That's amazing.
Well, and Sonny would be like, yeah, where the hell's Jason? His ass should be saving. Like, totally. Like, it's so – but it's this amazing relationship with the three people that I love. And I have – from day one – it was. I've never walked in and said, "Well, why is Carly going after Sonny when she's with Jax?" Or why is Carly? Because I always knew why. Like,
yeah.
And that to me makes for great soap.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's the history of this show, so it's you know.
Yeah, when I came on the show, you and Carly and Jax were pretty solidified. I remember my first
Carjax.
My first great fantasy was during your wedding reception when I had like this dance fantasy, and. because I was infatuated with Lulu. And I was watching everybody dance, and I imagined myself dancing with Lulu, and everyone had to put on a hat and do a dance fantasy. It was awesome.
Oh, that was, but that, like, was our fantasy stage. We did a lot of those back then.
Oh, it was great. It was great. I mean, it was great for me. I got to do lots. I got to, like, do a kung fu fantasy.
You get to do your thing. You get to do your thing,
I got to
Bradford.
Do so many different things. But I remember that relationship. So when I came onto the show, I thought, like, you and Carly and Jax were like the primary couple, and so seeing you, Carly, get pulled back to Sunny over the years, I learned very, you know, over the years that is the primary relationship.
Yeah, and I loved working with Ingo. That was probably some of my most fun, certainly fun things I did. You know, we tried to make Jax and Carly like a Rachel and Ross.
Sure.
You know, because then there's the contrast of when things, Carly's in this fun feeling, like a happiness she's never probably had.
Sure.
And then reality pulls her back down when there's a knock on the door and Jason's just staying there and Carly's like, what's happened?
Right.
You know, like, then it just, it's a great shift.
Was it the this is what I should want versus the this is what I actually do want?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say do want. It's what is.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when she had a great scenes before she married Jax to Sunny, which is, she said, you have to let me go because I'll never marry him if you don't.
Right.
Like, if you want me back, I'll come back to you.
Right.
But please let me go.
Right.
That's amazing because that's real.
Totally.
You know,
I'm
always blown away by my character would never.
Yeah.
Because first of all, these characters aren't real.
Right.
They're not. But and if you read the news, this happens. I'm amazed at the amount of actors that have more integrity for their characters than they do themselves.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure, right.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
We're human beings and people are capable of anything given the situation.
Totally.
And and we play the reality of our heightened unreality, you know? And I find that to be therapy, quite frankly.
No, it's great.
I don't know. I love it. It's funny how
actors, you know, we clamor for these great stories, but then
we judge every moment of them.
And then we want it when we actually are faced with it. A lot of people are like, oh, that's too far. I need that. Ultimately pull them back to a place of safety.
Well, and that's the thing, is that do you want to play you or do you want to play a character?
Right.
Like, and, you know, I remember watching an interview with Meryl Streep where she wanted to change one line in a movie and it was something like was or the, something really small. And the writer was like, but that's everything. And what it taught her was pushing through that uncomfortableness opened up everything for her.
Sure.
And I remember in a moment in my career when that happened where, you know, I was on Guiding Light, and I was working with this amazing director named Brian Mertes, and I was not going to. I didn't know why I was in this scene. I would never do this. I was angry, and it's all that stuff was real, but it was for the character, not necessarily me, and it was all ego.
Sure.
And I did not know how to put it anywhere.
Sure.
You know, I didn't. I had the emotional ability. I didn't have the tools to what to do with them. And I remember he calmly sat down and said the most simple thing. He's like, well, if you had, because I had to stay in this room and listen to these people.
Sure.
And I'm like, I would not do this. I'd be out.
Right.
He's like, well, if you had, because you can't.
Right.
Yeah.
But instead of telling me that, which gets me all, you know, that defensive, don't tell me, all that stuff. Instead, I go, he's like, if you had to stay in here, if you had to.
Right.
What would be one reason? And I was like, well, I guess because my kids. And he's like. And then it just started. And it was the most simple acting 101, like, why are you in the room type thing.
Yeah.
But it got me out of my own way and to discovery. There's 1,000 ways to play a scene.
Well, it's interesting because in any other, you know, whether it's primetime or movies, you can't change nothing.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no line changing.
Mm-mm.
No.
I mean.
Or directing the director.
Yeah, there's no. We're in a. It's interesting medium because.
But we also continue. When you play a character for 13 years, you claim ownership.
Sure.
And we have 5 different directors and how many different writers, and you're the only through line. So I get that. However, how amazing is it to take these journeys every day into a new space? Because don't we do that in our life? Like, reality hands you don't know what your day's going to look like.
No.
Right.
So you don't know what's going to come out.
Well, that's
you.
With personal growth, too, the stuff you're talking about, how you overcame that. And, you know, because we've all been there. I'm not doing this. My character wouldn't
Absolutely.
Do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not moving here. I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I made a conscious decision when I came back to do whatever the director wanted. Like, any move, you want me to do this, mm-hmm. I'm doing it.
Yes,
no matter what.
Yes, thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, of course, there's going to be times where you're like, ah, can I just not cross here or whatever it is? So, you know, it was just a conscious decision on just doing what, you know, the director wants you to do. Because mm-hmm. in a movie, you don't have... When I was doing The Last Castle, where I was so used to this medium, I went there. First of all, it was so slow, and I've told Bradford the story. But, you know, in film, they get to do the take over and over and over again while it's rolling, right? So if you're shooting my side, which you know this, but if you're shooting my side of it, I can say that line 10 times.
Right.
Differently,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, here, it's a different, you know, process. And there, so they're rolling. I say my line, and I mess it up, and I'm like... Cut.
Somebody's going to call cut, right?
No. Yeah. No, I called it.
You called your own cut.
I called cut, and the director's like, no, you do not say those words. Cut. Don't say it. Just keep saying your lines.
Yeah. That's so funny.
But, you know, you don't have the liberty with that. Some directors you do, obviously, you can, you know, get away with stuff.
But it is personal growth, and it's personal growth in your art, too, you know, or in your tools. It's having tools in your toolbox, and it's knowing that this is about the story and the audience. You are just the vehicle. It's not about your ego.
Yeah, and it's true, because in life, if you got to be uncomfortable to grow, right?
So absolutely.
And even with acting, mm-hmm. you're like, how am I going to do this? I don't know how I'm going to do it, but
no, absolutely. And there's a bigger picture. You're not the only actor on the show.
Right.
You're not the only actor in your scene. So as much as, like, when I was sitting there in that day going, I wouldn't stay in this room, the other two actors are like, but then we don't have a scene.
Right. Right.
You know, and it's like, and they have, you know, and that's what makes the world go around, is everyone has a difference of opinion. And that's also what pushes story. Like, when people are like, why can't they just let Carly be happy? And I'm like, I don't want to be happy.
Yeah.
Because then I don't work. When you're happy, you're
I know,
boring.
That's when it's dead.
It's
you're
like,
done.
Give on a soap opera, give me things to do, because I have to pay a mortgage.
What right. What are some, I guess, stories? We all have the stories that stand out to us. Mm-hmm. What are there any that kind of are ones that stand out to you over the last 13 years? I know you've had a ton. You've had a lot to do.
You know,
but
it's the heavy emotional ones, of course. I mean, the non-emotional would be the Jackson Carly love story, because I found it fun. And I tell you, working with
the
Ingo.
The White Knight.
Totally. And working with Ingo was funny, because we would bicker almost through all of, you know, blocking and stuff.
So like a real married couple. Then.
Yes. One time a director just threw a script down and walked away. So when you guys are done, because I'm like, I'm not going to
like
tell me what to say.
Moonlighting, like Bruce Willis.
Totally.
And
oh, yeah.
Because he would try and tell me what to do. I'm like, stop telling me what, and I'm not going to say it that way. He's like, well, if you wanted to be funny, I'm like, I don't think you're funny. And we would totally. And the great thing about Ingo and I is that we never got offended by the other.
Right.
Like, we would go, okay, you're right. We went to lunch every single day.
Wow. Yeah.
On the way to lunch, I'd call and I'd order the lunch.
And I remember when you guys would have kissing scenes, he'd mm-hmm. always get garlic and onions.
Yes, and I would be like, you know, you're such
an
idiot. I
think that's so funny, dude.
Yeah. That's amazing.
On purpose. He's like, yeah, I had extra garlic and onions
today.
Well,
he did it less than he said he always liked to make it, because he always wanted to be cool around you guys. But he always did. And so, and sometimes he would say things and I'm like, did you just say that out loud? You don't talk like that. Stop doing that in front of the boys. That's totally a married couple.
But then
he'd doodle while we ate lunch. Because he would get annoyed because he would inhale his food, and I'm trying to, because he wanted to leave the second he was done.
Sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. And his wife was always, I'm like, how do you put up? She's like, I know. Like, we always made fun of him. But I loved him, because it was such a fun story to tell, and it was light, which is different.
Yeah.
But of course, when I was on Loving, it was when my husband was killed on that show.
Yeah.
The storyline on Getting Light, where Richard and Cassie got married, and then his death was. It's amazing to tap into such emotion to me. The Morgan storyline was really heavy. When we're still getting mileage out of that.
Yeah, totally.
He's doing fine, though.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, I love when people are like, is it coming back? I'm like, do you not see that he's really... Follow him on Instagram.
Yeah.
He's not coming back.
Well, his pilot just got picked up. Yeah. He's doing great.
He's doing great.
We have a scarf waiting for him.
Yeah. But I think it's just the heavy emotional stuff. And I really liked the Morgan storyline, and when Michael was shot, you know, those, because they encompass a large part of the cast, and I like that. I like when it brings out, especially when you have a death of like a 20-year-old child.
Yeah.
You have his brothers, and then, you know, it's an umbrella storyline that really brings people together, and I love that. I love when I get to work with actors that I don't normally get to work with.
Chasing a monkey through the jungle wasn't
no, not
that
didn't make
one
the
of
list.
Your highlights.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I was really surprised.
Wasn't that weird?
That was kind of early on in Carly's world.
Yeah,
so,
I always
hear his side of it. I'd love to hear yours.
Yeah,
I just know
be great.
That the guy loved the monkey loved Steve's boots. Like, and I mean, all he wanted to do was kiss and lick Steve's shoes, and it was the funniest.
And you know
thing.
Me.
Well, no, I kept
don't like
going
freaking monkeys,
for the love
dude.
Of God. Couldn't it have been someone else? Like, of
oh,
course
wow.
it's Steve Burton. Get away from him. Do
and
not.
Maurice was jealous.
Totally. Like, so funny.
Get that monkey over here to kiss my
but
ring.
I was early on though. With Carly, so I was kind of still head spinning and trying to yeah. keep, you know. Trying to fit. I mean, the fact that I'm running out in the parking lot with a monkey, I'm like, what the hell happened? I was in New York like a year ago.
Yeah,
like,
I was a New York actress.
Yeah, yeah
chasing
that's
a
what
monkey.
I said.
And I was still trying to figure out, you know, the Jason Carly relationship and then Sunny. And then it was just.
I always tell that it was the end of our career.
Yeah.
Because we were right, you know,
there
right,
you go.
Right outside.
We were right here.
We opened this door, this exit door, the one we go to lunch.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah. yeah.
And we watched the monkey jump into an
Escalade.
And
we
drive
don't even
off.
Have that nice of a car.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is it, Laura. We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
So, nice knowing you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was fun, though.
But how about that? That just goes to show you we can do anything.
We ran through a fake jungle.
We did. And circled around because it wasn't very big.
Well, sure. You yeah. gotta,
so,
yeah.
they had to keep moving trees and we had to keep running.
It was like Gilligan's Island.
And as I was dying of some disease. Yeah.
Was yeah. that toxic balls?
No, those balls were in the hospital.
Yeah.
Dude, that was a whole different storyline. Or Karpov. Remember Karpov? I'm like, can you guys stop giving names that we can't, that Maurice
yeah.
especially, we cannot pronounce?
Oh, Heinrich has been bad enough for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Why Heinrich. Don't they? So there's a character on our show called Heinrich, as you might know. In the script, it is not spelled.
Yeah,
like,
but that's not how they spell it.
Who?
The Swiss.
Is it Swiss or German?
Because yeah, I saw it on TV.
Well, it sounds German, but he's supposed
H-E-N.
To be Danish.
It's H-E-N. There's no I.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can ask Wesley because no one's done more.
Oh, I know.
No one's done more work on Discovery. Of
Wesley, Martin. First of all, I know the fans know he plays Heinrich, Peter, or Heinrich.
It's all the same, right?
It's all the same.
Yeah.
But such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Bradford and I were probably the nicest people in the world. Until I met Wes. And I'm like, this is fake.
Right, yeah. Totally.
This guy's fake.
No, he's not.
You're Wes, you're fake. And he's not. And I'm like, holy crap, man,
yeah,
this guy's a
I
really
know.
Good guy.
Born and raised in Kentucky.
I had a similar thing. I met him and I was like, oh, I just don't know him well enough yet. No, oh, wow. No, that's him. That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, he's great. Great guy.
Yeah, so. Great guy.
Nice. He's got
speaking
a fun
of which,
thing
he's waiting
going
for
on.
Me for lunch. So,
oh man,
wow,
like,
that was a
she's like you guys hell are you guys
segue.
Are you guys are interesting and fun. But get me the hell but, out of here.
I don't need a bullshit. I mean, we can.
Yeah, I mean,
that's true.
Speaking
that's true.
Of which,
but man, no. we could talk for hours with
we
you.
Could. We could.
I
love
appreciate
it.
Your,
thanks for having me. This
appreciate
is so
your
fun.
Time and you know I love you and Bradford loves you.
I do. It's true.
So
well, we got to have a
we'll have a part
Carly. Spinelli Jason story.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
Totally.
Wouldn't that be great?
Would be funny.
We've had some fun for sure. We've had some fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's. Carly's not opposed to asking people for the help that she needs. And
no.
I've always loved
or
that.
You mean demanding?
Demanding. Yeah, that's the better
there's
word.
No
she
asking.
Really ask.
Yeah,
yeah.
She doesn't ask anything.
So, no, I would always love when
wait,
she.
Wait, do you
would,
remember when we were on the roof of the hospital when the snow was coming down when on Jax's helicopter and we had they wanted
oh,
us to look up and scream? And I'm like, we can't.
Because we were coughing on the plastic
we were
snow.
Eating
they had
the snow.
Oh, yeah. My God. That was, yeah.
And it was getting in
Jackson
our eyes and they're like, why can't you look up? We need the shot. We're like, we
there's
can't.
Toxic plastic in our eyes, you bastard.
God, we couldn't. Like, that was so funny. And we're to imagine. That there's Jax with some helicopter up there
trying to land it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, we're so lucky.
I know. It's like me jumping through a moon roof or whatever.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
And you got,
he likes to make fun of it.
And she's
jealous.
And the stunt devil gave a full moon when he landed.
Yeah, he did.
Well, that is true. We all got
the first time, he's like,
yeah, and here's my
plumber's
butt.
Crack.
Here's my butt.
Here's so. Jason.
Oh, you know I hate that. I gotta go.
Thanks, Laura.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Tweet of the week. You know what it reminds me of? Nickelodeon. Remember,
oh, yeah,
remember
yeah,
that
yeah,
old
yeah.
one? Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, here is our tweet of the week. It comes from Hope Mosley.
Oh, so it must be a good one.
Hope Mosley. Because
if you're saying Hope, first of all, she has to be a nice person.
Right, but yeah. I think you'd like this one.
Okay.
Well, so it's a two-part thing. She says, Bradford, you need to try Axe Dark Temptation.
Yeah.
It's amazing. My husband wears it. Dark Temptation. Is that different than – that's different than
chocolate? No. That's the one.
That's the one?
Yeah.
When you say chocolate axe –
yeah, it's chocolate. Dark Temptation.
So
– yeah.
Is chocolate part of the flavor?
It's not a flavor. You don't eat it.
No.
You don't. I know you try to lick my arm and stuff, but you don't eat it, dude.
No,
you know what? I have to check to see if it actually says chocolate on there.
You just call it chocolate?
Well, it says Dark Temptation.
Sure. And so, when you think of temptation, you think of chocolate?
Well, it's a brownish, blackish bottle.
Right.
With brown lettering.
Okay.
So I might be wrong. But
you've been calling it chocolate.
I know, dude.
X.
That's like what an old person does.
Wow, man.
I know. I got to look it up.
Okay, look it up. All right, so Dark Temptation.
But, dude, it's that. That's like.
That's the stuff.
They got it.
They got it right.
With that one.
They have got the formula.
Pete, you can make fun of me.
Those smell scientists working hard at the Axe Factory, they got it.
The Axe Factory.
The smell scientists. That's what they're called.
You can make fun of it.
I am.
All you want. Because I know you use natural deodorant.
I do.
And again, yeah. I'll say it again. It doesn't work.
Yeah, but I feel.
Dude, yeah, okay. All you need is one little chocolate. You know it. Everywhere I go.
Right.
Steve.
Why? How do you smell so good?
You smell so good.
All right. Well, thanks, Hope. Hope. I need to try it.
You're right. Thank you, Hope.
All right.
You're very nice. And
her question. She has a question.
Oh, there's a question. Okay.
Yeah. Do you get bothered when you're having dinner and somebody comes over? Which I thought was an interesting question. You know, we don't get as, you know, it's not, we're not followed around by paparazzi. We're not A-list. I know Kathy Griffin calls it the D-list. I think it's more of like the F or G-list that maybe we're on. I'm not even sure. Steve's maybe on a list. I'm not. I'm on no list. I'm on the keep him out list.
Yeah. Do not let him in.
Do not let him in. No, but the thing is, you know, we, at least for me, you know, we talk about this a lot where, you know, the kinship between us and our viewers is so strong and, you know, we surely understand it because we appreciate it. You know, so is it always convenient? Sometimes it happens at inconvenient moments, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, look, dude, we have great jobs. We're blessed to do what we do.
Totally.
And I'm grateful and people come up to me all the time and it's awesome.
Yeah.
So come on up.
Come on up, say
come on
hi.
Up.
I know. I people on Twitter always say, "Oh, you know, like I saw you."
That drives me nuts.
And
though.
I'm like, "Why didn't you say hi?"
I know, but people are trying to be respectful,
which is nice, that instinct is appreciated because that's a nice instinct.
Absolutely, but I do understand that the fans of the show have been watching for a long time and generations, because
totally.
We see generations of fans come out.
Which is so cool.
I know they feel like they know us because we're on. All the time. So they want it. Jason! And I answer to Jason all the time.
Totally.
And it's cool.
It never bothers us.
Never. Yeah. So that's awesome.
But thank you for asking. All right. And then we have a couple questions since that was our tweet of the week. Thank you, Hope, for doing that. So we have a question for Rebecca. From Rebecca, I'm going to say Gutschall. She asks, what do you like about being actors, you know, so, you know, we talk about.
Was that an actor? What are you saying?
What do you like about being actors? So, and that's interesting, you know, because we obviously we talk a lot about acting because that's what we do. But, you know, what, and the other flip side is what don't you like about being actors? Because
that's even the better question.
What don't you like?
Yeah, not working?
Yeah. Yeah.
Rejection?
But, yeah. No.
Humiliation?
Laura said something earlier, like, she's like, it's, you know, some of the stuff that she gets to do, it's like, I get to go to these places in my emotional life that maybe I don't get to do in my regular life. So in that sense, it's therapy. And
I agree with that 100%, actually.
Well, there is something interesting about going to places in your emotional life that it can be a release. You know, sometimes in our life, we don't get so angry. We don't get so sad. You know, we kind of keep ourselves in line to protect ourselves.
I believe that 100%.
You know, and we get to go to these places, especially on a show like ours, where, you know, we're going to highs and lows and just experiencing that. Yeah, your brain knows it's not real, but your body sometimes doesn't.
Yeah, and that's the flip side, right? If you could do it in moderation, it is like therapy.
Well,
because
it's just a release.
Especially for guys.
You're not,
you know, if you're super angry all the time or you can't cry or whatever,
right.
You know, you're not supposed to, but I need to, and it's great.
Yeah.
But then the flip side is if you're doing that story for 4 months.
That's tough, yeah.
Then it hurts.
It hurts.
You know, because you can't help not to carry it over in your real life.
Sure.
And feel that, because you're always depressed, you're always angry. You got to shake it off, and sometimes right. it's
shake
very
it
difficult.
Off. And the player's gonna be.
We were at a birthday party the other day.
Is that a song?
It's a Taylor Swift song.
Oh,
we were at a birthday party. My 6 year old, one of her classmates, was having it, and it was at like a dance studio, and they did choreography to that. It was awesome. It was awesome. All right, thank you for the question, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Olivia Mitchell asks, "Do you ever get stage fright?" I can attest to this. When we go out on the road, when we used to go out with a band.
Oh, that's a different story, though.
Well, but that's stage fright.
Yeah, I know, but it was stage fright for me because it was so out of my comfort zone.
Sure.
Right, when we did our first Port Chuck thing in Nashville.
You almost threw up, dude.
I almost threw up at walking on stage.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Yeah.
I was so scared.
Yeah.
And I hated that feeling, by the way. I hated that feeling.
Did it turn into adrenaline for you? No?
You know, it takes – Brad, you've been doing it and singing for a long time and performing. So it took me a couple years to feel, somewhat okay, somewhat okay. And there's times where you feel comfortable and it's all working. Everyone's working great together and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, I always felt like the odd duck out.
Right.
Because, you know, my hair's like a duck. So,
if it raps like a duck, talks like a duck, and has hair like a duck, it's a duck.
but going to Y&R,
I
got nervous.
Right, a new place.
It's a new place, though, you know, it's different because I have the experience of obviously being on set and acting, but you're still kind of, I got the butterflies. This is like new, And so stage fright, with Y&R, it worked great for me.
Sure.
With Port Chuck, it didn't
work crippling
for me at all.
Yeah.
It was crippling.
Yeah, no, I still get it, but I have enough confidence in myself that those butterflies in my stomach are almost, they turn into energy, and I like it.
Yeah.
I still get it before every audition, those butterflies. I still get it before every show we do, like every live show we do especially.
Yeah.
Because I'm, we're about to go out in front of a couple few hundred people and I don't know exactly what I'm going to do.
Right.
It's like standing at the top looking over the edge of a cliff going.
It's interesting because when we go do these shows now, it's you never really know what's going to happen because you don't know what type of crowd you're going to get
because
the crowds differ to every state and you're kind of sort of in control of it.
Sure.
Also.
Yeah.
And so it's very interesting how this is morphing into an actual show from just us going up and being ourselves.
Like, hey, guys, we're here.
I don't think we ever did that.
No, I don't think we ever did that, too.
But stage fright, it's good. I get pumped. I love doing those.
Yeah.
It's so fun. That's like a, let's go.
Sometimes upstairs here at General Hospital, I'll get a little bit of nervousness, especially when Spinelli had to do something that I knew was going to be either something that I had to pull off. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Something outlandish that he did so I had to kind of go into a little bit of a reckless abandon state and just be like, all right, I got to go full into this because if I hedge at all, it's not going
to
work.
Yeah, those are good lessons because you have to you can't as an actor have any inhibitions
because it shows.
You know, if you're playing it reserved or safe, it shows because you're not comfortable.
Sure.
You know, because I do this voice for Final Fantasy, right?
Cloud Strife,
and I have to make the most ridiculous noises.
Wow.
Like the sound effects and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, okay, do this one, a gut punch or whatever. Like, I mean, dude, it's like, Cherie's like, I don't even know how you do that.
Yeah.
I said, you can't have any inhibitions at all.
You can't be in your head thinking about it.
You just got to do it. Yeah. So, good question,
though. Good questions, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, make sure to go to stonecoldandthejackal.com to see where we're headed. We got a lot of dates coming up this year. Our July dates are up now.
Yeah, we're going.
And we're hitting the road, baby.
We're
going to some cool places. Nashville, San Antonio, Phoenix, Seattle.
Seattle, Vegas.
Vegas. Sacramento, and then
Irvine,
Orange County.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, man. We're having so much fun out there.
We're going to get to some other places. So if your city's not on the list this time, don't worry.
Check it out. Check out the podcast. Check out the other episodes. We got some great guests. We have a lot of fun. We appreciate you guys.
So thanks for listening. Thanks again to Laura. And
absolutely. Thanks, Laura. StoneColdAndTheJackal.com. Out.
It's the circle of life. And